Welcome to episode 58 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. This is the third and final installment on some episodes about the search for exoplanets, or extrasolar planets, planets that are orbiting stars other than our sun. We've only covered three methods, including today's episode, for finding them, but there are, in fact, a whole grab bag of methods. I have a link on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com, to a site called Five Ways of Finding Exoplanets. Today's method is direct imaging. If you've been following the last couple of episodes, you'll have noticed that there is a lot of inference and careful analysis involved in finding extrasolar planets. You find yourself dangling on a long chain of reason, rocking back and forth in the winds of doubt and uncertainty. It would be nice if we could look directly at a planet orbiting another sun. Well, in rare cases, we can. Unlike with methods like the transit method, it is best if the orbiting planet is face on to us rather than edge on. So if you have something like a hula hoop that describes the circle, or to be more accurate, the ellipse of the orbit that the planet is making, rather than looking at the edge, you tilt it so that you're looking at the entire hoop. If you go to the page I have a link to, you'll find that direct imaging has only found 44 planets. It used to be that the planet had to be unusually far away from its star, unusually large, and unusually warm for being that far from its star. Those constraints are falling away as technology advances. The glare from the star has to be blocked out somehow. There are a number of ways of doing this. If you have a space-based telescope and you have another spacecraft handy, you can put the spacecraft in exactly the right position and orientate it in exactly the right angle to block out the light from the star. Another method is to use a device called a chronograph, which is built into the telescope. Chronographs were originally developed in order to look at the corona of the sun. You block out the central disk or photosphere, the round, very brightly glowing bit, so that you can look at the more wispy, much larger and much dimmer corona. Simply putting a disk in place isn't enough because you have to deal with an effect called diffraction. Light will bend when it encounters an edge, especially a sharp edge. There are various tricks to handle this. It's difficult enough with our sun, which is about half a degree wide. When you're looking at stars, even nearby stars, they can be 0.0002 arc seconds wide. A single arc second is 1/3600th of a degree. So this is a very, very tiny space you have to block out. Modern methods use an approach called interferometry. To explain this, we have to talk about light for a while. And really, to get into this, we'll take several other episodes involving work by people like James Clerk Maxwell, Michael Faraday, even Benjamin Franklin. Light is a wave. There are a couple different kinds of waves. Sound, for instance, is a longitudinal wave. This means successive shells of pressure move towards you, causing the material to wiggle toward and away from you. Transverse waves, by contrast, move perpendicular to you. They're the kind of waves you get if you toss a pebble into a still pond. Light is a transverse wave. Unlike waves on the surface of a body of water, light can be orientated in any direction and can even sort of spiral around as it comes towards you or moves away. Anytime you have a moving electric field, you produce a magnetic field. Anytime you have a moving magnetic field, you produce an electric field. Light is an oscillating electric field that creates an oscillating magnetic field that creates an oscillating electric field, and that propagates through space. When two waves cross, if they meet so that the crest of each wave overlaps, that wave becomes greater. If they meet so that the crest of one wave meets up with the trough of the other wave, they can cancel out. Modern methods of optical masking, of removing the star's light, takes the light out of phase, 90 degrees, so that the crest of one wave interferes with the trough of the other wave. Special materials and methods are used so that the star's light cancels itself out, leaving the light of the planet. While there haven't been many planets discovered through this method, what it has allowed us to look at many examples of are structures of gas and dust around stars of various ages, including protoplanetary disks, material that will, given time, collapse into planets around the star. This gives us many examples of the way that solar systems develop over time, which can give us insight into the way we got the system that we live in right now. Beginning next week, How to Make a Mind, Part 2. How did we end up with this beautiful, lush, wonderful planet and all the complicated, squiggly bits of life all over it? I'll see you next week.